Right, we're going to have a little bit of fun before I do my talk. All the children in Sunbeams and Flame, if you could come up, please. I've got a little job for you. Come on, don't be shy. I'm going to play a little game, which all the adults are going to take part in. Right, I've got some sheep printed on sheets of paper here, and I want you to hide these sheets of paper anywhere in this room. You can't go outside of the room. It has to be in the room. And all the adults need to close their eyes while the children are hiding these. Now, I'm going to give you... Let me get my stopwatch out. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to hide. Okay. You can open your eyes now. It would have been nice if I put some background music to when you're hunting for these sheep, but... If you'd like to stand up, if you're able to, if you want to take part, you might think this is a bit too childish, but off you go. You've got 3 minutes to find all the sheep. It should be 20 sheets of paper. And when you find them, if you could bring them and put them on here, please, at the front. Okay, only one outstanding, but there's 10 seconds left. 5 seconds. 4. 3, 2, 1. Time's up. I think we've found all of them, but for one that Jan is holding on to. That's the lost sheep, which is the theme of... Thank you. The theme of today's talk. So we're covering parables during the month of August. So today we're doing, unsurprisingly, the lost sheep. Now, I actually didn't know this before I started researching the whole thing about parables, but Jesus gave 30 parables in the Gospels, and he used parables to illustrate important themes concerning moral values, the rights and wrongs of human behavior from God's standpoint. Now, the parable of the lost sheep is the first of three parables that Jesus spoke of with the intention of explaining loss and redemption. The second is the parable of the lost coin, and the third is the parable of the prodigal son. All three of these parables are mentioned in the book of Luke in the New Testament, and were used by Jesus to answer accusations that he was keeping the company with tax collectors and sinners. But with this particular parable, why did Jesus use sheep as a symbol? And what and who did he have in mind, sheep? Who did that represent? So I think we'll read Luke 15 and see if we can find out. So Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. So it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully arrive at home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So from Jesus telling this parable, we know that the man he mentions is a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one goes missing. In this situation, what does he do as a shepherd? Does he say to himself, oh, well, no worries, I still have the majority of my sheep. Only one has gone missing. It's not worth the time and effort to go after the lost one. No, he doesn't say that. Instead, he goes searching for the lost one. And Jesus actually poses this as a question. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that he has lost until he finds it? This is a question which those listening to him would have known the answer to. Because 2,000 years ago, in this part of the world, keeping sheep would have been fairly common, a common occupation. And losing one sheep from a herd of 100 might have been quite expensive. The text then goes on to say that he, the shepherd, goes on searching until he finds it. So he doesn't give up. He keeps searching and looking and seeking. He sacrifices his own comfort in searching for and finding his lost sheep. And when he does eventually find it, he carries it home on his shoulders and calls his friends and neighbours to celebrate with him over the return of this lost animal. From a sceptical point of view, though, you might look at this story and say that it was irresponsible of the shepherd to leave the rest of his sheep out in the open and go searching for the lost one. A huge risk, in fact, leaving them exposed and vulnerable. What was he thinking in abandoning them for a time, one might think? There is, however, another way we could look at this situation. The shepherd was not only driven by emotion, but by logic too. Logically, it was the lost sheep that was, in fact, more exposed and vulnerable. It had gone astray in the wilderness and was now in more danger, with threats from wild animals and starvation, than the group of 99 sheep. The 99 would, I believe, have been left on a safe enough ground in green pastures to graze on by the shepherd. He would have left them there before he went searching. And so they would be unlikely to be attacked by predators because of their large numbers. What's that saying about safety in numbers? So the lost sheep on its own would have been an easier target for predators, which is why the shepherd went out to rescue it from danger. Another point to bear in mind is that sheep are incredibly dependent on man. When in danger, they tend to freeze with fear. Unlike a dog or a horse, who probably in a similar situation would be able to find its way back home. The shepherd, knowing about his sheep, knew that there was no way that this lost creature would survive without him going to its rescue. So, to sum up, what was Jesus implying through this parable? When he was accused of welcoming tax collectors and sinners, he used this parable to address the need to go after and rescue those who have gone astray from God, who have lost their way from their heavenly Father and are looking for the way back to him but cannot find it. Jesus is the good shepherd in this story, and he is the way to the Father. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." And then in verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd again. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my sheep. I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd." But for me, the verse which really, really hits home about the love of Jesus for his lost sheep is in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, your very word, to rescue us, to seek and to save us from darkness and to deliver us into your glorious light. That as the good shepherd, he is the way to you, the bridge to you. Thank you, Jesus, that when you find us lost and broken, that you pick us up onto your shoulders and carry us to safety. Help us to hear your voice today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Musicians, I was just thinking, could we have a reprise of Good, Good Father? Good morning, everybody. And welcome again to New Life. And if it's your first time, welcome for the first time. This is another of our August Sundays. It's not quite our normal service during August. It's a bit stripped back. But anyway, we're here. We're here to worship the Lord, give him thanks and praise. I just wanted to share a scripture with you before we launch into worship. It's Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And Lord, I just pray that as we gather in this place to give you glory and honor, that the fruit of our lips will be acceptable to your ears, Lord, that you will incline your ears to what you hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, mercy. So the first song is Love You So Much. Gunnel wants to just say a quick word.
A quick word. Does anybody think that the drummer is anointed? David, come up here. That's the most anointed drummer I've ever heard. Absolutely mind-blowing. Reach your hands out to this young man. We're going to pray for him, and we're going to thank God that he took away the pain, not the pain around here. He's taken it away, and he's going to keep it away.
Amen.
And he's going to have a new start now.
Amen.
Because it's nearly autumn. And he's taken another big step into this amazing world, spiritual world that he's in. And also in his work, he's taken a new step as an electrician into his work. Reach your hands out and let's pray. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for David, Lord. We really believe that your Holy Spirit is over him. We really believe that he can take some new steps. We believe that you totally and utterly has healed him, Lord, because you are a God of healing. You're the one, Lord. We can do nothing, but you have done it. And Lord, we just want to love David today because you love him so much. Bless him in a very special way. Let the oil just pour down and pour down around his feet, big puddles that he can just give away, Lord. We thank you for David. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, good God. And everybody said,
amen.
And do you...
Okay. Thank you, Gunnel. This Sunday is also ECOS Sunday, and it's throughout August. We're meant to be having a picnic at the bandstand on Parliament Hill on Hampstead Heath. But weather permitting, we'll see what happens. But hopefully... Oh, sorry, Bob. Have I stolen your thunder?
Gosh, that was my thunder. Fantastic. Shall I do the? We've got lots of. Okay, fine. Okay. ECOS. Yes. Yeah, sorry. We decided we wouldn't have a picnic today because of the potentially inclement weather. I love that word, inclement. So instead, we're going to have ECOS at Costa. So 1 o'clock. We've got a few guests coming. As always, we'd be very, very grateful for any help. That any helpers who can come to Costa, if you're a bit short of pennies and happy to buy you a sandwich at Costa and a coffee. So if you'd like to come to Costa, Regina is going to be leading the way. There she is, wearing a new beautiful ECOS shirt. Fantastic. I was going to model one for you, but I was taken by surprise. So Regina will be leading the way, and if you can join us at Costa at 1 o'clock, that would be wonderful. If you're new to the church today, very, very warm welcome. Not such a warm day, but the welcome is all the warmer. And welcome some old friends, Victoria, Bola, welcome. Lovely to see you. We are celebrating a very, very special day in the life of a young man. Not many of you have had the pleasure of deep conversation with this young man because he is a mere 1 year old. But nevertheless, as part of the glorious family of the church, Joshua, would you like to bring your... Feel free to bring your mother along with you as well. This little man is 1 year old, and we have a little cake. So I'm going, Joshua, yes, I know, it's your brother. And we have cake. We have cake with more than one candle. That's a very... so we're not a very conventional church, and this is proof of our lack of... Oh, look at that, buddy, it spells out the word, of course. That's the reason there's more than one. So, Joshua, let's hang happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joshua. Happy birthday to you.
I know. And the candles have been wonderfully blown out. Fantastic. Let's just pray for this young man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for little Joshua, Lord Jesus. Lord, what a beautiful name, Lord Jesus. Lord, just remember that wonderful character in the Old Testament, Lord. A faithful man of God, Lord Jesus. And we pray for Joshua, Lord, that you would lead him in his life, in a walk with you, Lord Jesus. We pray for your protection upon him, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for Craig and Cleo, Lord Jesus, for your wisdom as parents, Lord Jesus, and pray for us as a church, that you'd help us all together to be a great blessing, Lord Jesus, upon this family and upon Joshua. Amen. Amen.
September, a date that is kind of emblazoned in John Haruna's diary. It's not just written in John's diary, I imagine. It's written in fire, if that were possible. John, do you want to come and inspire us about the international service?
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Well, one of the best days for me is the 23rd of September. It's not my birthday. Maybe I might even change my birthday to that date. Then I can have two birthdays. The international service is God's way of expressing oneness to humanity. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, can we have Galatians chapter 2, please? Now he says this, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Everyone is one in Christ. There is no difference. There is no difference. And Jesus wants us to know this. And that's the reason why we celebrate the international service. To bring us together. All traditions, all tribes, all cultures, all values together in Christ. And celebrate the love. We have lovely food. I think I like that part as well. I don't know German national food. I'm sure Tim is going to come with some German food. Sausage and bread? Oh, God. Well, we're going to be having some sausage and bread from Germany. And it's going to be about our friends and family as well. It's going to be an all-age family service. I want to encourage you to invite your friends. From tomorrow, I have made it on my calendar. If I add anyone to my calendar now for any meeting, it's going to have the international service logo at the bottom of it. And luckily, which is one of the good things that God is doing in this country, in Hackney, you are allowed to do that now. You are allowed to talk about your faith without anyone actually standing up against you, which is a good thing. And some years ago, it wasn't really possible. I tried it in Newham. It was difficult, but I still did it. And I'm happy I did it. So it's something that I'm not encouraging you to do anything like that. But please just invite your friends. If WhatsApp friends, Facebook friends, invite people to come and see the glory of God and the beauty of multiculturalism in Christ, where it is done the way God wants it done. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
You may be aware that we have managed to get a wonderful cupboard from the school, which has meant that we've been released from the burden of bringing a white van every week, which is tremendous. All we're looking for is some people who can help us to unload and reload that cupboard at the beginning and end of a meeting. Our dear friend Dan, who's just put his hand up over there. Would you like to stand, Dan? Let's just see you in your full glory. Dan is kindly going to help us get a rota together to do this. So we're just looking for some faithful and relatively strong people to help with that. So if you are able and willing, that would be most wonderful. And not entirely unconnected with that last announcement, our dear friend Paul, who has been working for the church for, is it now 200 years? it feels like it. Faithfully driving one of those wonderful white vans every week. We're going to be giving Paul a sabbatical, a period of a few months to get some rest, some refreshment, some restoration, some renewal, and some all sorts of R words I've come up with, re-envisioning, and you can get into all the re words. It's just amazing. I'm going to stop there, though. Did you want to say something? Yeah.
I arrived, I think. I arrived at New Life 35 years ago, the first meeting I came to, as I walked through the door, I was new in London, and I just felt God assuring me, God speaking to me that this was and is my church family. And so a lot of 35, I only came here for 6 months, and 35 years later, I just know God's knitted me, and this whole journey of us together growing as a church, seeking to do what God wants to do here in London, has been a fantastic privilege. I've had the wonderful privilege the last 25 years of working, of being supported, to be one of the leaders here in the church, and it's been fantastic. I've benefited tremendously from that journey, and I pray that you have too. I felt just running a little bit out of steam, physically, emotionally, the trustees, leaders kind of suggested just take a break, just have a few months just to be refreshed, to be built up and strengthened, so that for the next 25 years, for the next season, to be able to continue. So just to say thank you very much, and I really appreciate your prayers, your love, your support, and I know that together God has got things for us. We've seen some wonderful things, some fantastic things over these past years. I know God has got more. And together, every member, that's one of the things I think that God's impressed on me in this season, is how God is, it's not about one or two people doing lots of stuff. Actually, it's about all of us finding the particular calling and particular purposes and particular areas that God gives us to be fruitful, whether it's in China or whether it's in Muswell Hill, Kentish Town, Tottenham, wherever God's placed us, that we'll be fruitful together. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's just pray for our dear friend Paul. John, do you want to come and thank you, Jesus? Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we so, so, so thank you for Paul, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the pillar he is in our church, in our community, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for Barbara, for Matthew and David too, for this precious, precious family, Lord Jesus. And we pray for Paul, especially in this season, Lord, that you would speak to him, Lord, that that you would be very close to him, Lord Jesus, that there'd be this sense of really taking your hand and walking with you, Lord, not just day by day, but almost minute by minute, Lord God, this sense of your presence at this time. We pray for real rest, Lord Jesus, real sense of rest at this time, real restoration deep in his heart, Lord Jesus, in his mind, in his emotions, Lord, in every part of him, Lord God. And we pray that we as a church, that this would be a place of kind of healing and rest and a really healthy place for Paul in these coming weeks and months, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would give direction at this time, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would be leading Paul, Lord Jesus, that you would fill his days with sweet things, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we want to say thank you for the vision upon him. Thank you for your grace upon Pastor Paul. Thank you for your unction and your anointing upon him. Father, we pray for new openings, Lord. New insight, deeper understanding. Lord, it's a season of rest. The Bible says even you, God, rested on the seventh day and everything you did was good. Father, we pray that this season of rest will bring goodness. It will bring joy. It will bring fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Lord, fresh fire, Lord. Fresh grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Doors will open in the name of Jesus. The new face will be sweeter, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, gracious King. In Jesus' precious name.
Yes, Father, I just pray for you to instill in Paul a sense of calm and peace, Lord, that he can surrender everything to you, Lord. There will be nothing that he needs to worry about or be concerned about. He will surrender it all to you, knowing that you will be in absolute control. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
So during that season, Nick will be kind of stepping forward. So if there are issues, concerns or anything, then talk to Nick rather than to Paul or to myself or to David or John. But in terms of kind of working administration for the church, Nick will be covering those bases while Paul's on sabbatical. And that's the end of the notices. Fantastic.
Kind of, yeah. Soul Survivor, who attended Soul Survivor this year? Hands up. Okay, could you all come up, please? That'd be great. Give them a big hand. Yes, the adults can come up as well. Yeah, that's fine. Matthew, I hear that Soul Survivor this year had quite a big impact on you. I was just wondering if you might want to share a few things about your experience.
It was really crazy this year. It was honestly so much fun. So much fun. But yeah, the meetings are really powerful. And yeah, I think God did quite a few things in some of our lives. Like, some guys aren't here, but you know, for me, and the big thing was learning about God's grace. And I think I've never actually fully like appreciated like what, like just the fact that it's grace we're saved. And I think realizing how much I'm just depending on grace and like not earning it makes me, I think, love other people who maybe I wouldn't have loved so much before more. Yes, that was a big thing for me. That was a big thing for me. Bracker, what can you share with us? A word of wisdom.
Yeah, I just think Soul Survivor this year was mainly about learning more about God's love and how he's always loving you no matter what.
There was like a miracle because I prayed for eczema on my hand and it went. Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's a bit too many things to say, so no, I'm joking. I would just say, I don't know, like, every talk kind of resonated with some part of me, and I feel like, oh. and then you could, like, take a little bit from everything, and it was just a time to reflect on your relationship with God and the steps that you can take to move forward.
Yeah, I think this year the meetings were really good because they were really focusing on, like, self-image and what you think about yourself and, like, the lies you feed, like, to yourself and that. So, and also, Claude, she hurt herself at a Governor B concert and she hurt her leg, so she couldn't really, like, walk properly. So we all prayed for her, and then as soon as we finished praying, she was able to, like, walk around and everything. So,
what can I say? It was my first time off camping. Oh, my goodness. It was, yeah, it was an experience, and let me put it that way. But I tell you something, I can't complain about that at all, because I thought I was going to support the kids, but I got touched in so many ways. I've had this pain in my lower back for such a long time. I can't even remember how long ago. After having the children, my back was never the same. They were talking about healing, and everyone gathered around me and prayed for me. And I'd complained to Barbara for 3 nights. I was bent over, actually, from sleeping in the tent on the ground, and I couldn't walk properly. But after that prayer, I got healed instantly. But because I'd taken painkillers, I didn't go forward, because I was thinking, oh, maybe not. Then the next morning, I got up from bed, and Barbara asked me how my back was, and I completely forgot, because I was standing up straight. I was completely healed. And yeah, I just want to give God the glory for that. But the company, the meetings were awesome. Yeah, it was just an amazing time, really. So I didn't think too much about sleeping in the tent with all the excitement.
Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful time at Soul Survivor. You can see all of us with smiles on our faces, having a good time. Really nice weather. It wasn't raining very much, which is really nice in camping. One of the meetings, it was the same meeting that Mercy got prayed for. Prayed for me and my the pain in my appendix. I've been struggling with it for 4 months. Been taking painkillers every day, multiple times for 4 months. And now I'm off painkillers, so praise God. So,
I really enjoyed Soul Survivor. It's just a really sort of easy time. You're at this big festival with a lot of like 3,000 kids who are also Christian. So it's easy. It's really easy to sort of come up and ask for prayer. It's also a really good time to sort of get to know the people in your youth group. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, it was just great this year. I just loved going. I like camping anyway. I know that's odd, but I really like camping. And we had sunshine, and we sat outside, and the meetings were amazing, and we felt the Holy Spirit, we felt close to God. And the kids, well, and the young people were so kind to us, they gave us thank you cards, and it just really touched my heart. So, yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, similarly, I think you go feeling that great responsibility that you so want everyone to be touched by God. And part of that comes from their own decisions to go forward, our own decisions to say, right, I will go for prayer. I will step forward and respond. And in all the meetings, everyone at different times went forward for prayer, engaged with it. And so that really is such a blessing, because you feel it's worth your while to go, because people are taking advantage of what God has for them. And I was really struck by their personal walk with God, that these are young people that are going for God in spite of how tough it is to be a Christian in London these days, amongst the teen culture. And that these guys are going for it. You know, when it was time for a meeting, particularly Peter and those guys, they'd say, right, half an hour before the meeting, we're going to keep a place. And they'd run and get a place in the front of the meeting, so that all the rest of us that were faffing about with our lip gloss and our washing up were able to get there in time. So really wanted to say a big thank you to you guys, that it's those kind of things that make it easy, because we feel there's a sense of you wanting to go for it. And personally, God really touched my heart. You know how it is when suddenly a song comes on and you just feel like something's got you almost viscerally. God really speaking to your heart. So there was lots of weeping, but it was a very good thing.
Thank you all for sharing. Thank you very much. Okay. Auntie Onyeka. I believe you have some wonderful news to share with us.
Ruth and Danielle, can you come down, please? Our God is an awesome God. This is not the day to tell my story, but I'm just struck by how kind our God is. the story has been, it was long, but today I'm just saying that we have a God that answereth. He's kind, he's so faithful, he's loving. I waited so many years for this time, and it has come. And today is not the day to tell the story, but I'm just going to say thank you to the Lord for these two children that is in my life. We journeyed so many years for this. I'm introducing them to you. This is Ruth, and this is Daniel Chukwuemeka. They are my children. Please, if you see them doing anything wrong, please call their attention. They're doing good, encourage them more. I'm so glad that this is a place to bring them in, because children, they are blessing from the Lord, and they are being taught here. They are loved. Children love, they what they want is love. And in this church, this is a loving church. And I'm so grateful to God to be able to bring them here. I'm so grateful. Maybe one day, there will be a day that we'll be dedicating them. I will be handing over their life back to the Lord, for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do to them, with them. I have no strength, I have no wisdom, I have no knowledge, I have no understanding, but I'm just going to hand them over to him who had brought them to this land to use them as according to what he wants to do with them. Please, brethren, I'm just grateful to God, and I'm begging you to join me to thank him, because the journey was over 12 years and it has been fulfilled. Thank you all so much, because without your prayers and your encouragement, each and everyone, to be honest, I can't even name, because both prayerfully, both encouragement, both physically, both financially, you have all been wonderful. And I'm not going to leave anybody not saying thank you. Thank you for this journey. And maybe one day we have a time that we can share a bit of how God moves. He moves in our lives. Even some days, sometimes, or whatever situation we are, you think he's not hearing you, he's not listening, but he is. He works his purposes out. His time is not our time. He's doing, see, what he does. We do not understand it because we have limited understanding, but he's an awesome God. I can assure you, the day that I'm going to share a bit of what the Lord has done in this journey, I'm praying that it will be a day that you'll be able to see that whatever that you're going through, that you can trust in his hands, because he is awesome. Even there are some days that, even up to last year, I was walking into this church. That's when they said, just briefly I'm going to say, that there's nothing else we can do. That was the end from a solicitor that said there's nothing else can be done. That was last year, July. And I walked into the church. I was dazed, to be honest. But as soon as I walked in, Vicky was just standing by the side there. And as soon as I walked in, she started praying for me. I didn't say anything. And the Lord spoke. And this is just one of the things to say that in wherever situation we are, he is there. And he sees all. And he doesn't leave us. That day that it was an eye-opener, that I felt so dejected, I felt that there's nothing else. But she prayed and the Lord spoke. She didn't even understand. She didn't even know. But I said to her, you know, God has just spoken to me. And in this journey, he has spoken and he has done so much that sometimes I can't even remember them. So I have to write them down. But in all, it's just to encourage the body of Christ that we are into good things. We are in good things. We are serving a living God. We do not understand him. And we don't even dare to understand him, but we just have to trust that in every situation, whether physical, mentally, materially, socially, he is in there fully. We can trust him. Praise the Lord. We leave it for next time.